Oh my, there's just a whole lot going on. And this is the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is, what is this? This is already Tuesday. Somehow Monday got past me without a show. I'm not sure exactly how that happened. I do apologize. There should have been a show yesterday. I had no time. I had an interesting class reunion thing on Sunday afternoon. It was a good time. It was class of 80, 1980. However, because we are the greatest class that our high school has ever put out there, we are the ones who are gracious enough to invite all other classes, but pretty much anything from, I think there were people there from 71, 72, all the way up through, I think there was a guy there from 95, or I was actually a gal that was there, graduated in 95, because there were friends of friends, and there were spouses of people that, you know, got married from high school. So there were all these people there that just everybody started inviting everybody. It was just ridiculous. But it wasn't overcrowded or anything. It was a good time. A very good friend of mine in high school used to run around with him. Used to be in a little band with him, in a little garage band where I played drums. And he was always asking. So he would say, "Kevin, what's in your cup?" Which is what everybody's still asking me today. And I'll get to that in just a minute, because I know all of you are really, you're on edge about, you really can't relax and settle into this show until you find out what's in my cup. So we'll get to that in just a minute. But first I have to tell you this story. You know, most people have to do a commercial. So this is almost like a commercial, but it's not. It's kind of like, this is something better than a commercial. It's more interesting, I hope, for you than a commercial. But however, it's not a commercial. You just have to put up with me. I mean, a lot of people have to put up with commercials for shows they want to see. This is one of those things where you just have to put up with me. So the story is that when I was a kid, I was a drummer in high school. And I was renowned at the time for my drumming skills. This is back when we first just invented the drum. Of course, this is way back in ancient times, and I was one of the first people with what was called a trap set. We used to call it a trap set, which was the, I don't know why it was called a trap set. I actually don't know the history of that, but it was a set of drums. So you had a snare, a tom, a bass, a kick bass, that kind of thing. You had back then, the more toms you had, the more the better drummer you were, apparently. I guess because you just throw the sticks around and hit something. And cymbals, I had to have a lot of cymbals. We're down to the minimalist thing now. I've noticed that most drum sets only have, one high tom, one low tom, and then they've got a kick drum. Maybe two cymbals. And then a crash and a ride. And then they've got the hi-hat thing going on. That's been a standard throughout the ages. And, of course, the snare. Of course, the chair, the seat that the drummer sits on is appropriately called it's called a throne. So this young man that I was in this garage band with, he would, in our little band that we used to play, we'd get together once or twice a week, I think, and play, and it was fun. It was a good time. We had a little drum set I used to play. I don't think it was my drum set. I think it was their drum set that they had. It was actually Jesse's set that he had, which is his brother. So we were at this. We'd get together. It was literally in his garage, and we would play. We had a bass player that was really good at the time. He was also in jazz band with us, which was also a lot of fun. However, this. We ended up playing quite a bit. Now, this fellow came from a family who was very big in the country music scene in the 60s. I believe 50s and 60s. They were actually rode around with some pretty popular people. Tammy Wynette, those kinds of people, the older, the original kind of country group. well-known country singers. And the apologize for my throat this morning. It's kind of it's a little bit rough. I don't know if it's because of what's in my cup, probably, which we'll get to. So we have, it was just interesting. He ended up being getting pretty popular with his guitar playing, and because of his connections with former people that he knew, he became John Michael Montgomery's guitar player. I think he played rhythm for John Michael Montgomery. I don't know that he played lead. I think he played lead for someone else while John Michael Montgomery. There was a couple of years there where John Michael Montgomery didn't. I don't know why everybody uses all three of his names, John Montgomery. When Montgomery didn't tour, and so he ended up being a toured with someone else for a little while, and he actually played lead for that individual. He's phenomenal. He can play guitar better than he can speak. I mean, it's just to hear the man. He can sing as well, but he can literally just walk all over the guitar as if it's his language. He's just like, if he's just talking to you, he can pick up just about anything and just make it, you know, do whatever. He's just, it's just incredible. So he's very successful as a musician. However, you know, he's been seeking some other things, doing some other things in career-wise. He diversified, so that was good because, you know, musicians have, you know, ups and downs. He ended up, he has a small band up near where we live, and he's got some friends up in that area, so they all get together and play. And so they ended up putting together this band to play for our reunion. And it's now it's very loud, which you know, goes without saying. But it was very good music, mostly country music, but it was in a lot of more popular kind of folk songs. So it was very good, which was, it's kind of fun to get together with people like that and have a chance to kind of enjoy the evening. Didn't go too late. However, I had to get up the next day and then travel. So I had Monday morning, I had to get up and try to make it to a flight in South Bend, which I ended up not being able to make. And I ended up having to drive to Chicago to get on my flight. Ended up going to, I'm here in Asheville. I don't know if Asheville is, I'm not sure if I'm in, I think I'm in South Carolina. Am I in South Carolina? I think I am. I'm sorry, I don't know. I was trying to figure that out this morning, and I don't think it is South Carolina, actually. Asheville, South Carolina. Well, maybe it is Asheville, South Carolina. Yeah, I think actually it is. Or maybe it isn't. Is it North Carolina? Not North Carolina. I'm pretty sure it's Asheville. South. Anyway, that's North Carolina. Asheville, North Carolina. It is North Carolina. There it is. Sure enough. Oops. No, that's not what I wanted. Asheville, North Carolina. I just typed in North and it just came back up with South. So there we go. Places to stay in Asheville, North Carolina. So I'm in North Carolina. I just call it the Carolinas, because I don't know what the, you know, there was the North and South here. This is where the war was, the Civil War. So that's what all that's about. Now, having said all that, I hope the sound is okay on this thing this morning, because it looks like it's clipping like crazy. And at the same time it looks like it's clipping, I'm not getting any indication I'm actually recording on the bottom screen here. So I don't know. Hopefully it's recording. Because otherwise, this show is just it's a mess. A couple things in the news. A couple big things in the news. Three things, actually. One is what's in my cup. And I'm going to talk about that real quickly here. I actually broke down. I'm almost embarrassed to say this. I broke down this morning. I was out looking for something to eat this morning. And there's not a whole lot. There's the hotel food, of course. I could have done that. And I try to avoid that because you just never know what you're going to get, frankly. They kind of got you captive here, and sometimes they're really awesome. What I've found is the places that have free breakfast typically are actually a little more consistent and better sometimes than the places that charge you for breakfast, and sometimes charge you ridiculously high rates. There have been places where $30 for, you know, a meal that at Denny's would cost you like $5. And it's not as good. It's got more foo-foo stuff involved. You know, it's got a lot of garnish, you know. If you like eating garnish, that's great. But I don't really care for the garnish so much. So I went walking. I just went out walking. And my app on my phone told me I was 30 minutes away from any kind of restaurants, like any kind of, you know, McDonald's or anything. And it didn't even show up with some of the stuff that it was in this area. As soon as I stepped out the door at the hotel, I went down the steps. I like to use a staircase when I'm at a hotel. Even if I'm on the 10th floor, I use the stairs because it's just better for me. And I used the steps this morning and went down. And of course, it took me right straight outside. Didn't even take me to the, like the lower level. I opened up the last door and here I am outside. And right there was a Starbucks. So I ended up McDonald's and everything was right here. But I was within 2 minutes of walking distance. I could almost fall down and just land in the parking lot. So I ended up going to Starbucks, and I'm not terribly proud of that. Especially after I walked in to the Starbucks, the people I had to associate with there for those few minutes to wait on my stuff. I really didn't enjoy that. Just here I am in Asheville, of all places. You know, you would think of it as kind of the good old boy town. And apparently there's still foo-foo yuppie people here that they can sniff out a Starbucks and apparently find it. There's people in here, you know, men with hair buns, people with blue hair, the whole thing. They were all in there. I didn't see anybody coming in or going out that way, but they were all in there. I don't think they get paid to be in there. I don't think if it's just a part of the natural environment that, you know, Starbucks, you know, pays these people to come in and be that way. I don't know. But they obviously were there. They were there in there. Maybe a little uncomfortable just, you know, being in there because it's just like a freak show. So I ended up, I ordered a sandwich. And of course, they didn't have half of them labeled. So I had to try to, you know, what's that one? There was only one with a label on it. And I was saying, no, what's the one in the middle there? And so she kept telling me the ones that had labels on them already. I said, no, I know what that is. I want the ones that don't have labels. What are those? I don't know what those have on them. Right? I can't tell what they are. I don't know how to order it because I don't know what the name of it is. Just, you know, put the labels on it. It's Starbucks. Come on. You guys didn't just fall off this morning because they weren't laying around the cabinet anywhere. So I pointed at the one. She said what it was. It was like a sausage patty egg thing with a biscuit thing type thing with cheese on it. It was supposed to have cheddar cheese on it. I got it. I got my sandwich. And I also ordered a large venti iced chai this morning, which is, that's a whole story. That's what's in my cup right now. So that's part of what's in my cup. I'll tell you what else is in my cup in a second. And so I got this this iced chai, and then I also got this sandwich. Well, I wanted to get out of there quickly, so I got the iced chai, and I waited for my sandwich, got the sandwich, and I ran out the door, and I sat outside pretty much by myself. There was one or a couple guys out there sitting, but it was pretty much all empty out there, so I got to sit by myself a little while in the sun. Nice day here, nice morning. So I ended up, I pulled my sandwich out of the bag there, and I realized it was not what I ordered. It had bacon, not sausage, and I don't think it was cheddar cheese. And it just wasn't as much as I, you know, wanted to eat. I don't know if I paid more or what. It's, you know, at Starbucks you pay, you know, it's like $300 for anything pretty much out the door. And anyway, I ended up eating the sandwich. I wasn't going to take it back in. They're just going to throw that away, and then I can't see that happening. I'll just eat it. As long as I didn't get charged wrong for something, I just didn't get what I wanted. So I ended up eating that and just kind of sitting there watching some YouTube videos for a little bit. I ended up going back to the hotel then. And in my thermos, I still had some leftover sweet tea from Chick-fil-A. So I put the rest of that into my iced chai, which actually If you've never tried it, when you mix sweet tea with iced chai, it actually creates kind of a, it's a little milder. It's not quite as spicy. It kind of tampers down the spice a little bit, which I don't really care for spiced drinks that much. And it just kind of takes the, it's still creamy, has the sweet flavor of the tea in there, and you can't really taste that as much. It just kind of sweetens it up and kind of reduces the spice a little bit, so it's kind of good. A couple big things that are happening in the news that I really want to jump into now that that's all over with. One is, of course, it's all over the news right now. Supreme Court is having a meltdown, and the big issue right now, of course, is that the Supreme Court, this leak that came from the Supreme Court briefs. There is only one way this happens. And here's where nobody's talking about this. All they're saying is, how did this get leaked? The only way this can get leaked is through one of the justices leaking it. Now, each justice has a staff. I'm sure each one of them has a main administrative assistant, you know, kind of the right-hand go-to person that they have handle all of their, just all the tasks that they need to get done. You know, send a letter to here, send a letter there, do this, do that. I'm sure that they have their staff working for them. Anyone on that staff who happened to be handling that brief could potentially have leaked this document. However, this is an egregious, and they know this, this is an egregious act. Now, the question is, did this come directly from a justice to a reporter? Or was it a James Comey incident where someone gave it to someone to give to a reporter? James Comey didn't feel like it was ethical for him to give his notes from this meeting with Donald Trump directly to a reporter, but he gave it to someone else to give them to a reporter, because that was ethical. I had to give it to a delivery man to deliver it to them. In other words, he wanted a plausible deniability fall guy in between. That's all that was. But he had all intents and purposes, all of his intentions were that it would get leaked to the press. This is the mindset, because the end justifies the means. We've talked about this before with these people that we're dealing with. Now, how did this get leaked out? There are activist judges now on the Supreme Court. They are activists, and they will fall on their sword to disrupt legal counsel, anything in this country. I guarantee you they will do that. And in this case, it may have been that, or it may have been an administrative assistant. In any case, I guarantee you, if, for instance, it was Justice Sotomayor. So Sotomayor approaches one of her staffers and says, you will be well taken care of. Don't worry. Leak this document. You're going to be the fall person for this. We'll make sure that you're not prosecuted. You won't face any criminal charges. If there are criminal charges, we'll make sure we get you off, because we have powerful people in powerful places. So don't worry about that. And you're going to be taken care of for the rest of your life. You will get we're going to double your salary, and you'll get that through retirement, and you'll be done. You can live the rest of your life in retirement right now. And all it would take is someone who's close to retirement to getting that. We're going to take care of you. There's plenty of funds to take care of that, but you're going to be the fall person on this. And we're just asking you to do that for us, please. Because, you know, this is such a serious issue. I would not be surprised at all if this is the conversation that went on. Now, it could also be that one of the justices literally passed it on to someone in the dead of night because they are so concerned about this and they need the activists to get involved. Why would they want the activists to get involved? You would think that the activist group out there, the rioters and the pillagers, the disruptors, would not have any influence on what a court decision is. Because they're just supposed to look at the law with blindfolders on, right? That's not the justice we have today. That's not the court system we have today. We do not have a blind justice system now. We have a justice system now that is activist judges. They want to impose their will upon the law. And they will, like I said, the end will justify the means. They don't care whether it's right or wrong. Remember back when Judge Roberts didn't want to get involved in the elections, even though they did get involved in the elections in 2000 between George Bush and Al Gore, and determined they basically made the decision on the whole election because of the Florida issue. Now Judge Roberts, when this came up in the election of 2020, Judge Roberts stepped in and said, "We didn't have riots in 2000. He didn't want to have riots in the street. Well, why would there be riots unless you know what the outcome of those decisions might be? Because obviously, if you would have fallen on the side of saying, nope, Joe Biden won fair and square, you'd think there'd be riots? You think the left it would settle down? It's the right that would settle back and go along with the Supreme Court's decision. The right wouldn't be the one rioting. Now, what happened on January 6th was not a riot. And there was just a very few individuals. And I would venture to say that even a percentage of those were plants and FBI informants, proxies, working for the deep state. That's when I say deep state, I'm not saying conspiratorial stuff. I'm just saying CIA and all the alphabet soup organizations out there who have a tendency to want to rearrange governments. So the activist judges out there know that Judge Roberts can potentially be swayed in directing this decision if the riots are a potential factor involved. And that is why they are activating, and that's why they leaked this information, so that the activists could be triggered and be put in. They didn't want this to all of a sudden come out without any kind of... They want the activists to get involved now, get geared up, get ready for this. And potentially because they know that this is a decision that's probably going to... They see the potential for this decision being made. It's not just a possible decision. They realize this is probable. They see the potential for this to actually come down as a decision. If this was just something floating around out there that wasn't going to happen, they wouldn't be concerned about it. They probably wouldn't have leaked it, because this is a very serious, egregious act. So the real question now is, who did it? Who leaked this? And what kind of consequences are there going to be? What kind of investigation is there going to be into this? This is unprecedented. No, this is, as far as we know, this has never happened before. Supreme Court has been a very tight-lipped, very secure group. Now, I see this triggering one of two things. They will either dox some of these individuals who are on the Supreme Court. And we may see some violence committed against them. We're talking about the people who don't care about life, who want to see a woman's right to choose whether to live or die in the womb. They don't have respect for any life, really, though they say they do, but only as a political pawn. Well, if you're a minority, we care about you. So you have to vote for us. You have to vote for the white people to keep us in power because we care about you. We're the ones that are going to help you. Yeah, right. That's their whole power base is based on this. They just, if you saw the ridiculous charade that was Nancy Pelosi and some of her Congress people meeting with Zelensky. The most pathetic thing I've ever seen. He just acted like he was disgusted by the whole thing. Yeah, I'm doing this because I have to. You people are idiots. That's the look he had on his face. Now, it gets back to this whole thing. You know, I've noticed that there are two things that really tell a lot about a person. They happen to rhyme, but it's the way a person talks and the way a person walks. The way you speak and the way you walk says a lot about a person. I mean, body language is all one thing, but it's the intonation and the way a person is able to speak, the way they talk and the way they communicate with other people, and the way you walk. Now, I walk through a lot of airports, and I watch people walk a lot. And I kind of try to size people up, you know, right away. Now, having the masks off now is nice because you can actually see their face. But don't let that fool you. Because you see a person walking, it can tell you a lot about who they are, about their attitude, about their makeup, the way they are. So, that's just a side note. That's a freebie. Along with all this stuff going on with the Supreme Court, and it's of course it's right before the election. So here we go. You know, we're just months away, a few months away from electoral cycle. Riots are going to break out again. The disruption of you know, law and order, all the stuff that's going to happen. This is going to become a political hotbed. They have to change that. You know, they have to. Speaking of COVID, they have to change the narrative from COVID because they kind of screwed that one up. They didn't have this big celebration and say that COVID is over. In fact, Fauci came out recently and said the pandemic phase of this is over. We're now in the endemic stage. So he said the pandemic stage is over. It's not a pandemic anymore. Well, guess what? That triggered the administration. The administration basically came out and said, he misspoke. It's still a pandemic. You still have to get vaccinated. And then they got this new vaccine they're rolling out now. And so they have to get that one out there. And in fact, Dr. John Campbell is realizing there's no reason for this. And he's showing us numbers now that I think he might be starting to wake up to the fact that these mandates and all this stuff about vaccinations has a more sinister plot behind it with regard to people making money and payola and everything else that's going on, let alone everything else that's happening. I don't know what else medically is happening to us as a society because of this thing. He's got some really interesting, if you have a chance to get Dr. John Campbell, if you have a chance to go to YouTube and look at his website, or look at his YouTube videos. The one he put out this morning especially, he talks about 97% of this one, I think it was in the UK, talking about students, children that they tested. 97% of the students tested positive for what's called mucus, it was another name for it, but basically there was antibodies in the mucus. Now this in saliva, basically. It's a saliva test. And there was antibodies in the saliva of these children. Now, first of all, this is huge because most of these kids have not been vaccinated. Some of them have, but a lot of them have not. I'm talking about young kids here. Which means they've had it, and they have mucus or saliva antibodies. Only 3% of them didn't have it, and he thinks that that's because they may have had COVID way early on, and those antibodies aren't showing up. However, they can still produce them. The thing about mucus antibodies is that it kills it before it enters the body. It's actually a first line defense mechanism that your body has that kills off those viruses as it's entering in through your nose or your mouth. This is huge. This is the end of this thing. Sorry, my phone was ringing. So this is a big deal. Huge deal. And he's basically saying there's no reason for vaccinations anymore without testing for antibodies first. He said, ideally, we should be testing for antibodies. If antibodies exist, then the vaccine isn't necessary. That's been my contention all along. We have never put any kind of focus or any kind of emphasis or any kind of credence even, any kind of validity to natural immunity. None. In fact, quite the opposite was done by Fauci. So Fauci comes out with this, oh, guess what? The pandemic's over.
The pandemic's essentially over.
And then the administration came back out and said, oh, no, that doesn't fit our narrative. We need to back that up a little bit. So he did. He came back out and backed it up.
Well, I didn't mean that the pandemic was over. Even though I said the pandemic was over, the pandemic isn't over. We don't know where it's going to go. We're just in a stage of we don't know.
Okay, yeah, whatever. And then, so there's that. Now, the other thing I want to talk about a little bit is this new administration, this new office, this new department of disinformation, and the absolute ridiculousness that it is. You know, the Twitter. Now, I've told you, I'll see what happens here in the next few weeks about the whole Twitter issue. Twitter, oh, that's nice. I'm looking at pictures of people protesting already. They're just holding up their middle finger and at the Supreme Court building there, holding up signs. Vulgar, very vulgar. Yeah, it's very, very nice. Very, very good argument there. That's holding up your middle finger is always a good argument against something. It's an intellectual thing to do. You know, it's very, great. Yeah. So this administration now of disinformation came about through the whole Twitter thing. And I'm not, you know, Elon Musk is not completely in control yet of Twitter. He may not ever be really completely in control, but he's certainly not, he hasn't changed any rules. Mike Lindell found that out real quick. He went back on Twitter, and in less than a day, he was banned again, taken down. I am not going there. I hear my bumper music kicking in now. But there'll be another show tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be in Appleton, Wisconsin, and I will be able to get a show out tomorrow morning. I assume I have to do a hard workout tomorrow and other things. But I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in, listening to my stories and what I think about the news. Keep praying for our nation and pray for the Supreme Court right now. Pray for all those involved. God bless everybody. Have a great day.